Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ma'id Katan Daf Yud Tes. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Morris Grobe, Rafael Mordechai Ben Reb Zalman, and also Lillian Hammer, Leah Bat Reb Yaakov. All the Nishams we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We begin on Ma'id Katan Yud Chesom and Beis at the bottom with the new Mishnah, three lines from the bottom. The Mishnah starts, Ein Kosvin Shtori Chol B'Moid. You're not allowed to write down documents, Shtorim, on Chol Hamoid. So these are shtori chov, these are documents that are IOUs or statements that Ruvein owes Shimon money. You're not allowed to write them down on Chol Hamoed. However, you are allowed to write them down if you're concerned that you won't get your money back. So Ruvein lends money to Shimon, and he doesn't trust Shimon. He would like a document. So then in that situation, if Ruvein doesn't trust Shimon that he's going to pay him back, so then he is allowed to write it down, because after all, that would be a dover of it, and the rule is, for a potential financial loss or other significant loss, you're allowed to go and do certain things on Chol Hamoed. So, imeinu mamino, if Ruvein doesn't trust Shimon that he's going to pay him back without having a document, then you're allowed to write a document. Alternatively, oshein lo mayochal, if the person who's writing the document, who would normally write it now, but we, in this situation, would be willing to wait till after the Yontif was over, till after Chol Hamoed was over, but Nebuch, this person, the scribe who's writing this document, he needs the money. So in that situation as well, you'd be allowed to go and write it down because he needs the money. So for him, it's considered something that is allowed to be done on Chol Hamoed. Harezi Yachtov. So the Mishnah tells us, in both of these situations, you'd be allowed to go write down this Shtori Chov, this document, to prove that Reuven had lent Shimon with the money. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Eight kosvim, you're not allowed to go and write, svarim, sefer Torah, tefillin, or mezuzah on Chol Hamoed, b'moed. V'ein mag hiin, os achas, afilu b'sefer. Now the Gersa that we have is Ezra. You're not even allowed to change one letter in the sefer Torah that was written by Ezra. Now this sefer Torah was the sefer Torah that they used to go and copy all the other Sefer Torah. Remember, we learned previously that you shouldn't ever write down certain things by heart. You should write them from another Sefer. So this was the gold standard, this Sefer Ezra, that Ezra had written. Now, others have the gears over here, and you can see this in Rashi. He brings this down, that there were two gears over here, Sefer Ezra or Sefer Azora. Instead of with an Aleph, it has a Hey. And this was the Sefer Torah that Ezra had written that was in the Azora. And this is the Sefer Torah. Again, it's the gold standard. And therefore, even this Sefer Torah, which if you didn't correct it, could be a problem. So then, you're not even allowed to go and correct this Sefer Torah on Chol Hamoed. Now, the Mefarshim will point out, if you were to lane from this Sefer, you needed it, this was the only Sefer. The Shul only has one Sefer Torah, and if they don't correct the Sefer Torah, they're going to have a possible Sefer Torah, so of course you'll have to correct it on Chol Hamoed. Here we're talking about that you're not using it to lane from. It's not essential that it be fixed for this Chol Hamoed for the laning purposes, but you just want to fix it, so you can't do this on Chol Hamoed. Then we have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda disagrees. Yehuda Omer, he says, no, kosev adam tefillin umezuzos liatzmo. The person wishes to write tefillin umezuzos, he's personally allowed to do so. It's for himself. Now, he needs them. Now, this would seem to be a raya that you wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed. So some bring this as a raya. You see clearly from here that you'd only be allowed to do this if you need it for Chol Hamoed. So therefore, you must have an obligation to wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed. This is a famous machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah, as to whether you do or you do not wear tefillin. The Mechaber says you don't wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed. The Ramah says you do. And normally Ashkenazic communities follow the Ramah, so you would think that all Ashkenazic communities wear tefillin. But again, here there seems to be a split, and some, even Ashkenazic communities, follow the opinion of the Mechaber that says we do not wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed. Each person obviously should follow his custom. Now, here it says, according to Rav Yehuda, that you're allowed to light the tefillin and the mezuzah. So it must be that you have to wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed. That's, some want to bring this as a raya, but the other opinion that says you don't wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed would argue, no, you're writing them on Chol Hamoed, so you'll have them the minute Yontif is over. You need to wear them on Issu Chag, the first day after Yontif. If you start writing them after Yontif, you won't be able to wear them that day. It takes too long to write them. So therefore, you're allowed to write them on Chol Hamoed, but it's not a raya that you wear tefillin on Chol Hamoed. We turn to your Tesamad Aleph, where the Mishnah continues with one last din. It says, V'tove, you're allowed to go and spin, you're allowed to go and twist on your thigh, ayirecho, which is an abnormal way, treles litzitziso. You're allowed to go and make the treles. Now, it doesn't only mean the treles, it means the strands, the strings, both the loven and the treles. Just uses treles as an example of tzitzis. You're allowed to go weave, spin the tzitzis on Chol Hamoed. That you're allowed to do as well, according to the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara starts off and says that there's a machlokis over here regarding tefillin, mezuzahs, and tzitzis on Chol Hamoed. Tana Rabbanan. We have a brisa that sounds very much like our Mishnah, but we'll add additional things. The brisa states, Kol hiv adam tefillin u'mezuzos li'atzmo. Just like the Tana Kama Mishnah, that a person is allowed to go write tefillin and mezuzos if he needs it for himself. Because this isn't called work, this is called getting ready to do a mitzvah, and he needs the tefillin for either Chol HaMoed or for right afterwards. He has a mezuzah he has to put up in his house, so he's allowed to go and write that. But he's not allowed to go do it for business purposes, to go and sell it to other people. Likewise, v'tova ayurecho, you're allowed to go and spin the tzitzis strings on your thigh in an abnormal way. You can do this, v'tova ayurecho the tcheles, the strings of the tzitzis, both the lovan and the tcheles, l'tzitziso, in order to have kosher tzitzis. However, you're not allowed to go and sell them. You can only do it for yourself. But here the brisa adds, uli achem, if you want to do it for somebody else, you're not allowed to sell it to them, but betova, if you want to do somebody else a favor, you want to be a nice guy, so then you'd even be allowed to go and write tefillin on mezuzos, or go flechts the tzitzis, go spin the tzitzis for another person. But you can't do it as a schora, you can only do it letova. That's the opinion of the Tanakam over here in this brisa, divrei Rav Meir. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda argues in the brisa here on Rav Meir, just like Rav Yehuda argued in the Mishnah. And Rav Yehuda says, no, Marin, you're allowed to go and do a trick and say, here, I'm going to sell you my pair of tefillin, which was already written beforehand. You sell your own pair of tefillin, your own mezuzah, or your own tzitzis, and then and then you're allowed to go and write a new one, because now it's liatzmo. So you can then, after you sold your tefillin, now you no longer have tefillin, now you no longer have a mezuzah, you can go and write a new one for yourself. So you can do this harama according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yossi Omer, kosev umocher kidarko. And you're only allowed to do this kidei parnasoso. If you need parnasa, you're allowed to go write them and sell them in the normal way. You don't have to do any shinoi because you need it for Chol HaMoed parnasa. So therefore, you're allowed to go and do this. Now Rashi Miksiv Yad points out over here that the guy is not starving. If he was starving, everybody would say he's allowed to do this. According to Rav Yossi, he's allowed to do this behar vocha, even though he already has enough money and food that he's not going to starve on Yontif and Chol HaMoed, but he'd like to have extra. Instead of just having chicken, he'd like to have steak. So therefore, he's allowed to do this, even though it's for, quote, parnasa, but not dire, he has nothing else. No, he already has enough for surviving, but he'd like to have extra, harvacha. So it's allowed. The lo dami l'she'en lo mayocha. It's not analogous to the case where a person doesn't have anything, because then even Rav Meir had said that if a person doesn't have anything, then you're allowed to go and write the tefillin, write the mezuzos, or go and be tove the tcheles l'tzitziso. Okay, so that's the three opinions that we have in the brayis and the machlokis, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yossi. How do we paskin? Orile Rav l'Rav Chanano, Rav paskin for Rav Chanano. Others say Amri Lo, it was Rabba Bar Chana who spoke to Rav Chanano and said the halacha is halacha like Rav Yossi, kosev umoche kedarko kidei parnasoso, that you're allowed to go and write and even sell the tefillin and mezuzos or the tzitzis in order that you should have even harvacha in your parnasa. You're allowed to go and do that. Then we said in the Mishnah, v'tova ayirecho tcheles, you can do it with a shino, you can go and spin the tzitzis on your thigh. So Tana Rabbanan, the Brisa says a very similar thing. Tova odom ayirecho tcheles l'tzitzis. So the Brisa says you're allowed to go and spin the tzitzis on your thigh in order to make tzitzis. However, avaloba evan, you're not allowed to go and attach a stone to it, and this way it would be more of the normal way of doing it. As you see in the Ksiv Yad and Rashi brings down Shekain Derech Mishain Lo Pelech Tole Evan Vikoshwa Barosh Hachut Magalgo Bo Esachut Vitoveyu. If you don't have the normal utensils that you would go use to go and spin properly, which is a pelech, a certain type of implement that was used in the spinning process, so you could accomplish the same thing with a heavy stone. And therefore, the Brisa tells us that you can't use a stone that's too close to the normal way of doing it. You have to make a shinoi over here. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's the opinion of Eliezer. The Chachom disagree. Chachom mean, no, af bevin. You can do it with a stone. It's not a problem. They don't require such a big shino. You can't do it with a pelech, but a stone would be fine. Reviewed Omer Mishmo. Reviewed this says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, the Eben avolo bepelech. He passes over here that you can use the Eben, but not with a pelech. Now, that was what we had before as being the opinion of the Chachomim. But here, Reviewed this says that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elazar, in the previous version in the Braisa, had said you can't even use the stone, but according to the second version, Rabbi Yehuda's version, he says that Rabbi Elazar would say that you can use the stone. And according to this, Rabbi Yehuda says, even be allowed to use it with a pelech. A pelech, again, is this implement. It's something similar to using a stone. It's called a spindle, and you'd be allowed to go and use even a spindle. Certainly you can use a stone. So according to the version of Rabbi Yehuda, he has one step more lenient than the first opinion that we had in the Braisa, both for Rabbi Eliezer and for the Chachamim. How do we paskin? Amr Yehuda, Amr Shmuel. Others say v'chein Amr Rechia Bar Abba, Amr Rav Yochanan. There was the opinion of Rechia Bar Abba, the name of Rav Yochanan. The halacha is bein be'eben, bein be'pelech. We paskin like the opinion that Rav Yehuda said of the Chachamim, that you're allowed to go and spin the tzitzis, whether you're using an eben or even with a pelech. And as well, the halacha was like the previous opinion of Rav Yossi that we brought down in the Braisa. Halacha, kosev, kidarko, you're allowed to write the tefillin and the mezuzahs in the regular way and sell them a mocher, kidei parnasa. So even if you have enough, but you want to make harvacha, you want to have a little bit extra, so you're allowed to go and do this on Chol HaMoed. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The next series of five Mishnayos are well known to people as being the Mishnayos that are often learned in a Beis Ovel. I know at the Young Israel of Woodmere, when we have Nebuch, a house of Avelus, so we learn on the days of the Avelus, between Menachem and Marv, we learn one or two of these Mishnayos every day, depending on the length of the Shiva, and these are well known, therefore, to people that attend the Beis Ovel as one of the acceptable things to learn in the house of Avelus. You're not allowed to learn Torah because that's being the Sameach people, but you're allowed to learn things related to Avelus, and these Mishnayos are frequently those that are learned. So hopefully this will be very familiar to a number of people from having heard it at different houses of Shiva, and hopefully we should just learn it in the Daf Yomi and at other times and not have to hear it in the house of a Shiva. Okay, so the Mishnah begins. Hakover es meso. If a person goes and Nebuch has a person to bury from the Zayin Krovim, again, the Zayin Krovim are a person's mother or father, a son or a daughter, or a brother or a sister, or Rachmon al-Islan, a spouse. Those are the famous Zayin Krovim. So Hakover es meso, if a person had to bury one of these seven relatives, and it was Shlosha Yomim Kodim L'Regel. It was 3 days before a Yomtif, either Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkos. So the Tanna Kamma tells us, Bot Lehemenu Gzera Shiva, that as long as he had 3 full days of mourning before the Yomtif started, so the rest of the Shiva is pushed aside. Bot Lo Gzera Shiva, the Chachamim decree of having a week of Avelus of the Shiva, goes and pushed aside, and he doesn't have to make it up afterwards. Now, this is not the halacha l'maisa, as we all know, that even if a person sits even for shor achas, even for a very short period of time, so the shiva is pushed aside before the yontif. Now, that's the Tanna Kamma's opinion, that you need to have 3 full days of shiva that you sat, and then it pushes aside the rest of the shiva if yontif comes. Likewise, if you had the full shiva, and now it's the 8th day, shmona, so if the person Nebuch was buried 8 days before the Yantif, so then you finish the Shiva and you have one additional day, the start of the Shloshim. So then, Batlu Hemenu Gzeira Shloshim. Then the Shloshim is pushed aside by the fact that you started the Shloshim. So the Tanna Kamma says, as long as you had 1 day of Shloshim, so then the rest of the Shloshim is pushed aside. Now, the Mishnah explains that this is true for the Shlosh Regalim, but it's different for Shabbos, and we'll see we have a Machlokes, whether it's applicable to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah then tells us the reason why the shiva is knocked apart, is batla by yantif, by the shlosh regalim, and the shloshim is pushed off by the shlosh regalim. Ibnei sha'amru, Shabbos is different. Shabbos is ola. Shabbos counts as one of the days of the shiva, ve'enom avsekis, and doesn't interrupt the shiva. And the reason is obvious, because if you were going to have the gzera of shiva, it would never be applicable, because there's always a Shabbos that's going to come out and push aside if it were to interrupt and stop the shiva, so then you'd never have shiva. So therefore, obviously, Shabbos is not going to be mafsekis, it's not going to interrupt the Shiva. But you might have thought that it doesn't count as one of the days of the Shiva because we're not noheg b'farhesya avelus on Shabbos. So the answer is that no, we are noheg dvarim shebitzina, a person's not allowed to have relations with his wife during the Shiva, that's something private in his house. And there are other dinim as well that are noeg b'tzina, that are not noeg b'farhesya. So since the shiva is even applicable even on Shabbos, so therefore Shabbos counts as one of the days of the shiva, and it doesn't interrupt the shiva in Rav Sekis like Yontif does. And Pum Fakert by Yontif, Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, they are mafsikin, they interrupt the shiva. Tanna Kamma said, as long as you had 3 days, l'halach l'maisa, even got a mashu, the people Nebuch sometimes just sit for a minute or two before the Yontif starts, so then that's it. That's the ice shiva. So the regalim are mafsikin, but they ain't on Olin. They don't count as part of the Shiva. Rachmana Litzlan, if somebody dies on Yantif or during Chol HaMoed, so the Shiva starts after Yantif is over, and it doesn't count in an Olin, it doesn't count as any of the Shiva during the Yantif. Mishnah continues and tells us, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, I have a different opinion. Misha Chora Beis HaMikdash, once Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Bishvil Alasein HaRabim, so we no longer have the Beis HaMikdash, so then Atzeres is obviously the way we refer to Shavuos, now Shavuos no longer has the status of being like Pesach and Sukkot, but it is like Shabbos. In other words, it is Ola Ve'enom Avsekis. Now, why was Shavuos during the times of the Beis HaMikdash different than after the Beis HaMikdash, according to Rabbi Eliezer? Because during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, there was an obligation to bring a Korban Chagiga on Shavuos. But let's say you didn't bring it on the first day, so you had the Tashlumen period of time, the 6 days afterwards, to be filling in, for making up, for not bringing the Korban Chagiga on Shavuos itself. We have a remnant of this today. I mentioned this many times. According to many, you don't say Tachnun until you're Beis. Because those are the Yemei Tashlumim, that if you didn't bring the Korban Chagiga on the 6th day of Sivan, which is when we say Shavuos is, so then you could bring it on the 7th, the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, or the 12th. There's 6 days to make up for bringing it, and therefore many don't say Tachlin on those days because they were Yemei Simcha. And therefore, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, Shavuos, Atzeres, had the same dinim as Pesach and Sukkot, which of course are 7 days for Pesach, and the 7 days plus 1 day of Shmini Atzeres for Sukkot. Of course, in Chutz Laaretz, you always say it an extra day. So, Mishachar, Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Eliezer says, when we no longer have the ability to bring Tashlumim Korbanos, so then Atzeres, Shavuos, is just 1 day. The fact that you theoretically could bring your Tashlumim, well, when Nebuch, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so you're not bringing it on the first day, so there's no Tashlumim. So he says, once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Atzeres is a one-day yontif, so it's no different than Shabbos. And therefore, just like Shabbos is Ola Ve'enom Avsekis, so too, Atzeres Shavuos is Ola Ve'enom Avsekis. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Rabbi Galil disagrees. Rabbi Galil Omer, Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim K'Regolim. He says that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur had the same status as the Regolim, even though they're only 1 day, or possibly 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur is, of course, only 1 day. Nevertheless, they're not like Shabbos, but they're like the Regolim in that they are mafsikin, they interrupt the Shiva, and this is the Halach L'maisa, they interrupt the Shiva, they interrupt the Shloshim, they ain't an Olam, but they don't count as a day of the Shiva. That is the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. However, the Chacham disagree. The Chacham Amrim, Loki Rezeh, we don't hold like this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Atzeres is like Shabbos, the Loki Rezeh, and we don't hold like this opinion of Rabban Gamliel that says that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are like Regolim. What did the Chacham hold? Elo Atzeres is always Kirigolim, even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, they have the same status, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Kishabbos, they have the Halachic status of Shabbos, that is Ola Ve'eina Mafsekes. Again, I just point out, Halacha L'maisa, we paskin that all three of the Regolim, even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, as well as Rosh Hashanah, as well as Yom Kippur, all of them are Mafsik, they interrupt the Shiva, they interrupt the Shloshim, and they don't count, they're not Ola. Okay. Mor starts off and says, Amar Rav, Gezeras Batlu, Yomim Lo Batlu. The Gzeira, what does it mean, Gezeras Batlu? It means the Gzeira of Shloshim, that is pushed aside sometimes, it's Batel. However, the days of the Shloshim are not Batel. This is an enigmatic statement, which we'll explain in a moment. Not only did Rav say this, V'chein Amar Rav Huna, his star pupil Rav Huna said the same thing. Gezeras Shloshim is Batlu. However, Yomim of the Shloshim, Lo Batlu. That is the opinion of Rav and his Talmud Rav Huna. But Rav Sheshes, on the other hand, Omar, Afilu Yomim Nami Batel. Not only is the Gzeira of the Shloshim Batel, but also the Yomim a Batel as well. What in the world does this mean? The Gemara says, what are we talking about here? My time of Yomim Lobatel. According to Rav and Rav Huna, the Gzeira of the Shloshim is pushed aside, but the Yomim aren't pushed aside. What does that mean? If the Shloshim is pushed aside, so how can the Yomim not be pushed aside? My time of Yomim Lobatu. What is the reasoning over here of Rav and Rav Huna to say that the days aren't pushed aside? So what are we talking about? So he says, Sheim lo gilach erev oregel, if the person did not go and take a haircut, go and shave on erev oregel when he was allowed to, because the Shiva has been pushed aside because of the regel, so he didn't take advantage of this. So then, asu legaleach achar oregel, then afterwards, we don't say, well, the Shloshim is over and he can go take a haircut. We say, no, he has to wait till the full 30 days are up from the time of the Kavura, and only after that 30-day period of time is he allowed to go and take a haircut or shave. As Rashi points out over here, Dibur Maschu Shem Lo Gilach Erev HaRegel, the Chibot Lo Gzera Shloshim, that which we said that the Gzera Shloshim is pushed aside if the 8th day had started after the kvura, and then Yontif came. So the shloshim is pushed aside. So the boil eli galuchi erev regel. He should have taken a haircut then, but he didn't. The lo gilach. If he did chose not to take a haircut and erev regel, so then the next Rashi also legeach achar regel kol shloshim yom. So the gzeira of shloshim had been pushed aside, but the rule of not taking a haircut or shaving for the 30 days still is in effect. Now we turn to Yotessa with Beis. We'll bring a raya, a brisa, to support this statement. The other day I mentioned that Rashi normally says V'otanya is a proof. He writes the word benichusa. Here we see this in the top Tosos, that this V'otanya is benichusa. It's going to bring a raya. Because here both the Rashi and the Ksiv Yad use the term siyata. Okay, that pushes aside my thought that the Ksiv Yad Rashi previously had used the term benichusa to show you that that's more the authentic Rashi than the top Rashi over here, the regular Rashi, which says siyata, but here they both say the same thing. In any event, we have a raya to what we just said. But Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, hakover es meso, shloshi yomim kodem regel, just like we learned in the Mishnah, that if Nebuch, a person passed away 3 full days before the regel, so you were noeg avelus of shiva for 3 days, so then bot lemenu gzera shiva, so the rest of shiva is knocked off by the regel. Shmona yomim kodem regel, if there was a full 7 days of shiva, and then on the 8th day, the person was Erev Yontif, so he would be allowed to then take a haircut, and the Shloshim would be abrogated. So Shmona Yomim Kodem Regel, Bot Lohemenu Gzeirah Shloshim, so the din of Shloshim is pushed aside, because he's knowing a little bit, 1 day of the Shloshim before the Regel, and therefore the Regel is pushed aside. Umagaleach Erev Regel, he's allowed to get haircut on Erev Regel. However, im lo gilach erev regel, if he did not take a haircut in the erev regel, then also legaleach achar regel, that he's not allowed to go and take a haircut after the regel. He has to wait the full 30 days. Oh, that goes like the opinion of Rav and the opinion of Rav Huna. That's siyata. This Bryce is in support of that. Then we have the second part of the Bryce, Abishol Omer, mutu legaleach achar regel, that the person is allowed immediately, even if he didn't take a haircut before the regel, to go take a haircut right after the regel. Because he holds, Abba Shol says, Shekishem Shemitzah Shlosha, Ivatel Zera Shiva, just like if you had 3 full days of Avelus, so then it knocks off the rest of the Avelus, so too over here. Kach Mitzah Shiva, if you have the Shiva that are 7 days, and they pass, Ivatel Zera Shlosha, it pushes aside the Shlosha. Now, before we go further, I will point out, this is the Raya to the statement that Rav Sheshes had made. That Rav Sheshes seems to be holding like Abba Shol, that as long as you started the shloshim, so then the shloshim is totally abrogated, and even though you didn't take a haircut, you still are allowed to go take a haircut immediately after the yontif, and you don't have to wait the shloshim yom. So we seem to have over here that Rav and Rav Huna are holding like the Chachamim, the Tanakhama here, and the Rav Sheshes holds like Abba Shol. That's a simple understanding of this. Only one problem is that we just said that the reasoning of Abba Shol is because he says, just like Yishem Shemitzah shloshim v'atelis gzera shiva, so too kachmitzah's Shiva mivateles gezera shloshim. But it should have said, if we wanted to be consistent with what we said before, it should have said over here the mitzvah of shmona. Then that's mivateles gezera shloshim, because you're allowed to go and take a haircut on the 8th day. And therefore, that's why it knocks aside the shloshim, because you could have taken a haircut. But you could only do that on the 8th day, not the 7th day. So the Gemara says, right now, Shiva, Vo'anan, Shmona Tanan. How can you tell me that mitzvahs Shiva, Mivatel Zerish Shloshim? It should have said Shmona, like we learned in the Mishnah, because you need 8 days. So the Gemara says, no. You see from here that Abba Shol actually holds it 7 days, because he says, Mixes Yom Kekulo. So Abba Shol mixes Yom Kekulo, and therefore the 7th day, the Yom HaShvi, counts both as the last day of the Shiva, but also as the first day of the Shloshim. Ololokan is the end of the Shiva. Has to be the morning, can't be the night, because it has to be Shiva Siyomim. So you can't say Mixes Yom Kekulo by the start of the 7th day, which is the night time, but as soon as you daven Shachris in the morning, as soon as it's morning, so then you get up from the Shiva, right? The normal practice is on the 7th day, in the morning after the Daven Shachris, the Beis Ovel ends, and they wish Nichum to the person, and that's it, Ois Shiva. But it's still the 7th day. And if that night were to be Yontif, so the 7th day counts also as the first day of the Shloshim. That's Abba Shol's opinion. Ksavar Abba Shol, Mixes Hayom Kekulo, works over here, that it counts as the last day of the Shiva, and also as the first day of the Shloshim. Amr Chista, Amr Ravina Bar Shila, how do we paskin over here like the Chacham Rabba Shol? So he says, Halacha ki Abba Shol. He says, we paskin like Abba Shol. And in fact, he says, Umodim Chachamim li Abba Shol. And in fact, the Chachamim agree with Abba Shol that Kishachol Shmini Shalolios B'Shabbos Erev Regel, that if the eighth day were to fall out on Shabbos, so you can't take a haircut on Shabbos, and that's Erev Regel, so then they also agree, Shemutu Legaleach Be'erev Shabbos, then they would agree that you could take the haircut the day before, which is the seventh day of the Shiva. Because here they would agree that you could say Mixes Yom Kekula, because on Shabbos you can't go and shave or take a haircut, so here they would agree that you can do this on the seventh day. Now the Gemara asks, Kiman Ozlo, according to whose opinion goes the following statement, Hodi Omer Rav Amram Omer Rav, that which Rav Amram said in the name of Rav, Ovel, a person in Avelus, Kivin Sha'omdu Menachemim Meyetzlo, on the seventh day, as soon as they finish Davni Shachris, and the Menachemim say, Hamokhi Menachem Ischem, and that's it for the Avelus, Mutter Beruchitz, he's allowed to go and take a bath immediately on that seventh day. Whose opinion is this like? Kiman, this goes like Ki'aba Shol, who says, Mixes Yom Kekula. So this is already no longer considered the Shiva. You're out of the Shiva. So people are allowed to be Rochets. They can go wash themselves after the Shiva is over, even though it's day seven. But like Abba Shol, this Nemra of Rav Amram Omer Rav says that you're Ois Shiva already after Mixes Yom Kekula, after part of the seventh day has gone by. Gemara now says, there are three opinions over here as to how we paskin. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Halocha ki Abashol b'yom Shiva. We paskin like Abashol on the seventh day, where we say Mixes Yom Kekulo on the seventh day, and Umodim Chachom li Abashol b'yom Shloshim damrina Mixes Yom Kekulo. And we certainly follow it for the 30th day, because even the Chachamim will to Abashol on the 30th day that Mixes Yom Kekulo. So Abaye says, the Halocha is like Abashol by the Shiva, albeit there's a machlokes, and by the shloshim he says there's no machlokes, even the chacham m'moda that you say mitzvah yom kekulo on the shloshim day, that it can count as the end of the 30th day, at the end of the shloshim, and also it starts ois shloshim, and therefore the shloshim end on the 30th day. Everybody holds like that. That's Abaye's opinion. Rav Amar, halacha ki abashol b'yom shloshim. He says there is a machlokes on the shloshim. Abashol says mitzvah yom kekulo. The chacham say no, you have to have the full 30 days. But that's a machlokas where we pass like Abishol, but in regards to the Shiva, they know Loch Yabashol Biyom Shiva. In regards to the Shiva, we pass like the Chacham that don't say Mixayom Kekulo. We don't pass like Abishol who says Mixayom Kekulo. So that's the second opinion. That's Rav's opinion. The third opinion is Nardoi. What did they say Nardoi? Unardoi, the Chacham Nardoi, they said Amri Aloch Yabashol, Bazubazu. Machlokas in both of these situations. Do you say Mixayom Kekulo or not? We, in both situations, follow like the leading opinion of Abishol, that we say Mixayom Kekulo by the Shloshim, as well as by the Shiva, whereas the Chacham will argue in both of these cases. Where do we see that this opinion in Ardoi is correct? Because the Omer Shmuel, Halacha Kedivri HaMeikel be able. Because Shmuel's opinion is, we've had it already, we'll have it now, and we have it other times as well, that we always follow the Meikel opinion when it comes to Avelus. And therefore, Shmuel says, we follow the lenient opinion of the Ardoi, both by the Shiva and by the Shloshim, to say, Mixus Hayom Kekulo. Now, where do we get the whole idea of Shloshim from? The Gemara says, Shloshim Yom Minolam. Where does this concept of Shloshim come from? Again, it's all dinim d'rabbanim. So these are asmachtas over here that we're going to bring down. So it tells us, Yelech, we should learn out this din of Shloshim from Yolif Pera Minozir. That we don't take a haircut for 30 days during the Shloshim. We learn that out from Nozir. Nozir doesn't take a haircut for 30 days. Now, Ksiv Hocha, it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron and Elazar and Isamar not to go and engage in the normal practices of mourning when Nadav and Avihu died. So it says, Ksiv Hocha Roshechem Al Tifro. You do not let your hair grow long. In other words, you are allowed to go take a haircut. And you should not go Uvigdehem Lo Sifromu. You should not go and rip kriya on your garments. The implication being that everybody else has to. So here we learn now that the Avel is not allowed to go and cut his hair. Now, Uksiv, Hossam, it says in regards to the Nazir, Gadel Pera Sarosh, he has to let his hair grow. For how long? For 30 days. Malahal and Shloshim, so too, in the case of the Nazir, the minimum amount of Naziris is 30 days. So too, Avkan, in regards to the Avel, the minimal amount of not cutting your hair is 30 days. Avkan Shloshim. So that's where we have this Asmachta, that the Avel doesn't cut his hair for the Shloshim. Now, how do you know by the Nazir it's Shloshim? Vahasmi Nolan, doesn't say in the Pasuk, 30 days, it says, Gadel Pera Sarosho. So you have to have your hair grow. How do you know that it's 30 days? Maybe it's 60 days, 50 days, 20 days. So here we have a famous gematria. Now, Rav Shechta Shlita always pointed out, and this is based upon the Rishonim, that gematria is not one of the Yud Gomu Mido Shator addresses man. So this answer that we're giving over here is really an asmachta, this aloch l'moshe b'sinai, that you're not allowed to go and have a nazir cut his hair for less than a period of 30 days. The minimum amount of the zeros is 30 days. But we use this as smachta for this gematria. Amar of Masna, famous gematria. Stam nazir shloshim yom, that's halacha Moshe Sinai. My taima, what's the allusion to this? Amakra, we base it upon the following gematria. That's not the source, but this is a way to remember it. Amakra, kadosh yeh, the hair of the nazir shall be holy. The pasuk continues, Gadel Pera Sa'arosho. He should let his hair grow. So how do we know it should go for 30 days? Because the pasuk says, Kadosh Yihyeh. The gematria of Yihyeh, two yuds is 20, two a's is 10, 30. So Yihyeh, the gematria, to losin havu. It adds up to 30. So that's the asmachta that we have, that Stam Nazir is a shloshim yom. It's Aloch L'Moshe Misinai, but this is a way to help you remember it. Where it continues and says, Amar Rav Huna, Berei de Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, said, Hakol Modim, Shichosh Lishi, Shalo, Lios, Erev, Aregel, Shasa, Beruchitza, Erev. Everybody agrees that, again, here, everybody agreeing isn't the Halach Lamaisa. Everybody here is saying that you need to have a full 3 days in order to knock off the Shiva. Otherwise, the Shiva is still going to be practiced, extant, if you don't have the full first 3 days. And even here, even the opinion of Abba Shaul says that Mitzvah Yom Kulo by Shloshim, by Yeshiva, he would not say that you apply Mitzvah Yom Kulo if the third day is Erev Aregel. So we don't say, well, you get up on the third day of Shiva in the morning, Erev Aregel, and the Shiva's over, and then you go take a full bath, do all the rechitza you want on day 3. No, we don't apply, even according to Abba Shaul, Mitzvah Yom Kulo in this situation. And this is not only the opinion of Rav Huna, Brother Yeshua, Amr Rav Nechemia, Brother Yeshua, Rav Nechemia, another son of Rav Yeshua, said the same thing. And he said, Ashkechintu l'Rav Papi u'l'Rav Papa. I once found that Rav Papi and Rav Papa, who were sitting and learning the Asvei, the Karmi Halacha, ki Rav Huna, Brother Yeshua. And they paskin over here that the Halacha is like Rav Huna, Brother Yeshua. Ika the Amre, a different version of this was Amr Rav Nechemia, Brother of Yosef. It was Rav Nechemia, who was the son of Rav Yosef, who said, Ashkechintu l'Rav Papi u'l'Rav Papa u'l'Rav Huna, Brother of Yeshua. I found not only Rav Papi and Rav Papa, but also Rav Huna, Brother of Yeshua was amongst them. The Asvi, the Karmi, was sitting and learning, and they said, Hakol Modim, everybody agrees, Shechol, Shim Chol, Shlishi, Shlo, Lios, Erev Aregel. Even Abba Shaul agrees to the Chachamim that we don't say Mixes Yom Kekulo. If the third day is Erev Aregel, Sheosav Ruchit Ad Erev. You're not allowed to go and say, well, in the morning, the 3 days are up, and now this is Ois, the Shiva, and you can go and bathe and do everything as regular in the afternoon of the third day, Erev Aregel, but no, also Ruchitz, you're not allowed to go wash yourself out of Erev. You can only start washing yourself on Yontif. And of course, there'll be restrictions as to what you can wash and how you can wash on Yontif, but you certainly can't do anything in the normal way. We don't apply the principle of Mixes Yom Kekulo in this situation. Mark continues and says, Boy Minei Abaya. Now the Gersa that we have is Meirava, but in the Masoros HaShas, he says that it should be Meirava. Abaya was a Talmud of Rabba, he was a contemporary of Rabba. He normally wouldn't be asking Rabba questions, he'd be asking Rabba, his Rebbe, questions. So Abaya asks Rabba the following Shaila, Kivaro Beregel Nebuch. Somebody passed away on the Regel, and they buried him during the Regel. So what's the Halacha? Regel Ololo Leminyan Shloshim? Oh, ain't Regel Ololo Leminyan Shloshim? Does the Regel count for being part of the days of Shloshim? The person died on the first day of Pesach. So then there's 7 days of Pesach. They bury him on the first day. You're allowed to bury via Nachrim on the first day. So they buried him on the first day. And now there are 6 additional days besides the first day. 7 days have gone by. The Shiva hasn't started because the Shiva starts after the Yontif is over. But do we say that the Shloshim has already started? That's the question that Abaya asked from Rabbah. Do we certainly don't include the Shiva, but do we start the Shloshim? Paradoxically, that the Shloshim would start before the Shiva. And the Gemara continues and says, Leminyan Shiva Lokum Aboile. Abaya said, I don't ask the question over here in regards to the Shiva. That it's clear to me, Lo Noaga Mitzvah Shiva Beregel. Everybody knows that the Shiva doesn't start during the Regel. It only starts post-Regel. By us in Chutz Laaretz, we already let it start, albeit we don't do any Shiva Avelus Befahesya, but we count the last day of Yontif, Yontif Sheni Shalgolius, by either Pesach, Shavuos, or Sukkis, we count that last day as the first day of the Shiva, even though we don't have the practices of the Shiva, but it counts as the first day. In any event, it's clear to me, Abaya says, Lo Noaga Mitzvah Shiva Regel. There is no concept of Shiva during the Regel. My question was on the Shloshim. Ki koma boili, I was asking, Leminyan Shloshim, do we start the Shloshim during the Regel or not? Since, in fact, there are hanhagos of Shloshim during the Regel, so maybe the Shloshim paradoxically starts before the Shiva. So you'll count 7 days of the Shloshim already for the 7 days of Pesach, and then you'll start the Shiva after that. But that will also be number 8 of the Shloshim. The first day of Shiva after Pesach will be first day of Shiva, but it'll be number 8 of the Shloshim. Or not. My. That's what Abaye asked Rabbah. So Rabbah tells him, Amale, Eina Ole. No, we don't start the Shloshim until after the regular as well. Just like when the Shiva starts, that's when the Shloshim starts. We don't say we're counting the Shloshim already during the regular. Abaye says, why? Esvei, he says to his Rebbe, but there's a brisa that says otherwise. The brisa says, HaKovres Meso Shnei Yom Kod HaRegel. If you only had 2 days of Avelus before the Regel, so then it doesn't get knocked off by the Regel, according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. Monech Hamisha Yom Macha Regel. Then you continue 5 days of the Avelus after the Regel is over. Now, it's not the way we paskin, but that's according to the Tanakhama of the Mishnah. And in addition, during this period of time, he's allowed to have work done for him by other people. Normally, you're not supposed to have any business open if you're an Avelus, but here he can have other people do his work for him. And likewise, his male and female servants, they're allowed to do avoda in his house. They should do bitzina. Shouldn't look like they're doing it on his behalf, but there's no restriction on work being done for him. Now, normally, you're not allowed to have. Obviously, the Ovel doesn't do work, but even people aren't allowed to do work for him. Not his servants, and not other people. But here we see that they are allowed to. So even though he's still sitting Shiva for 5 days after the Regel, people can do work for him. And in addition, they ain't Rabbi Misaskinimo. And people don't come and pay a Shiva call on him at this point in time. Why not? We turn to Chofo Med Aleph. Shekfar Nisaskubo Beregel. Because they paid Shiva calls during the Regel. And what do we see from here? Klal Shudava, the rule is, Kol Shumishom Avel, Regel Mafsiko. Anything that was Avelus, so the Regel interrupts it, and it has to be continued after the Regel if there was less than 3 days. However, Kol Shumishom Iske Rabim, the things that the public has to do, not the Avel, but obligations of the public to the Avel, so Ein Regel Mafsiko. They can do that on the Regel. The Regel doesn't interrupt that. And therefore, they can go and pay their Shiva call during the Regel. And then after the Regel, while he's still sitting Shiva for 5 more days, they don't have to go and visit him. So Abaye says to Rabbah, clearly, what do you see over here? The Rabbim can go pay a Shiva call, according to this opinion, on the Regel, albeit the Avelus will continue 5 days after the Regel. Fine. Now we ask the question that's going to be Abaye's proof against Rabbah. Kovru Shlosha Yomim B'Sofa Regel. If they bury the person within the last 3 days of the regel. So then, Mone Shiva Achara regel. So then, you have to sit the full Shiva 7 days after the regel. Arba Yomim Rishonim, Rabbi Misaskabo. For the first 4 days, however, people still will go and visit him because they only pay 3 days of Shiva visits, the last 3 days of the Yontif, and then the first 4 days of his Avelus, of the formal Shiva, they still pay Shiva calls on him. But Shlosh Yom and Achronim, the last 3 days after that, ain't Rabbi Misaskimo because they were busy paying the Shiva calls during the 3 days of Yontif and the first 4 days post Yontif. Shekvar Nisaskimo Beregel. So again, you clearly see over here that the Shiva does not count as part of the Regel, but the Regel Olalo. But the Regel is included in the Shloshim period of time. The Brisa says, Beferish, the Regel Olalo. So Abaye says, how can you say that the regel is not olelo? My lava seifa, isn't this statement the regel olelo going on the seifa, where it said that the person buried within the last 3 days of Yontif, and you see that the Shiva is included during that period of time of the regel, and the Shloshim is included during that period of time as well. So doesn't that mean that I'm right, Abaye says, and Rabbah, your opinion is wrong? So Rabbah would answer, no. Lo, Aresha, that goes only on the first part, where the burial occurred within 3 days, less than 3 days of the start of the Yontif. But in that situation, where the Avelus started beforehand, the Regel just interrupted it, but the Avelus started beforehand, so that's when the Regel is counting towards the Shloshim. But when it says Regel Olo, it's only the Resha, it's not talking about the Sefer, and therefore, Rabbah says, your challenge against me is pushed aside. Now, we're still in the middle of this sugya. We'll continue with additional challenges, Abaye, to Rabbah tomorrow. But this is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir.